The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. Make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I'm sending to you grain, wine and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 6 and 16 to 21, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is Fasting in the Right Way. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the tradition of the Christian church, the season of Lent, which begins today, is a time of preparation prior to Easter. It has always been considered a reflective time of penance by abstaining from festivities, by giving to charity, and by devoting more time than usual, at least usual for you, to prayer, Bible reading, and worship. In the first 3 centuries, the period of Lent was only 2 or 3 days, if you can believe that. We know this from the Christian historian Eusebius in his Ecclesiastical History, Volume 2. After the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the period of Lent was expanded to 7 weeks in the East and 6 weeks in the West, and it is still how it is observed today. In the first 3 centuries, Lent was a 3-day fast that included only Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. It started on the night when Jesus was betrayed and stretched through dawn on Easter Sunday. And during this early period, the fasting rules were very strict. Only one meal was allowed per day and was taken toward evening. Meat of flesh, fish, milk, eggs, and dairy products were all avoided on those 3 days. When the period of Lent was expanded to 6 weeks in the 4th century, these restrictions were relaxed for practical and health reasons. Fish was allowed during Lent, and the restrictions against dairy products were rolled back for the 6 to 7 week period. From the 9th century, additional rules were made. Additional meals could be taken at noon and a snack before bed. Since 1966, in the Roman Catholic Church, the fast obligation is restricted to the first day in Lent and Good Friday. So all those fasting rules now are just observed in those churches today and Good Friday. In the East, that is the Russian, Greek, and other Orthodox churches, abstinence from meat, fish, eggs, and dairy products is still widely practiced during Lent. At the time of the Reformation, many of the penitential practices of the church were criticized and abandoned or reformed. Ulrich Zwingli started the Swiss Reformation not by hammering a couple of theses on a door, but by eating 2 smoked sausages with 12 other people on the first Sunday in Lent, April 1st, 1522. That's the day that the Swiss observe as the beginning of their Reformation. And this sausage supper was publicized. It was intended to cause offense and notice among Catholic believers. And this began the protest movement, which became the Calvinist and Reformed churches. In the Lutheran churches, changes in these and other type of practices were not made overnight, as they were among the Swiss. You know, the Germans are kind of slow to get on the boat sometimes. In 1522, Luther preached a series of sermons in the week of Invocavit that explained the gradual reforms at Wittenberg, and we have these sermons still today. He said, for example, "It is true that we are free to eat any kind of food, meats, fish, eggs, or butter. This no one can deny. God has given us this liberty. But if we use our liberty unnecessarily and deliberately cause offense to our neighbor, we drive away the very one who in time would come to our faith." That's Luther's Works, Volume 51. Luther then quoted Acts 16:3 and Galatians 2 about the circumcisions of Titus and Timothy as adults to prove his point. Over a period of time, the Lutheran churches relaxed all the food restrictions related to religious observances throughout the year, and the Lutheran churches have none today. They leave it up to the individual. What then should we do with the fast and other religious observances normally associated with Lent? Well, what does Jesus say in our gospel? We always start with what he says. He says, quote, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." That's verses 16 to 21. Therefore, according to Jesus, you may fast, but you should do so privately in your own home. Nor should you think that fasting in some way appeases God, pays for sins, or does anything like that. If you do fast, you should do it only for your personal benefit. The proper Christian fast would include a few light meals during the day, liquids as needed, together with limited physical exercise, so that you have the time and energy for prayer, extended reading of the scriptures, and similar devotional exercises. Heavy meals, alcoholic drinks, and heavy exercise cause sleepiness and make it difficult for the faster to concentrate on prayers or readings. Fasting by itself, just doing the fast, offers no spiritual benefits. It is only a tool to assist in private devotions, as Jesus says in our gospel. The real work happens by hearing or reading the Word of God. The definitive Lutheran statement on festivals, fasts, holy days, liturgical seasons, and the use of foods is found in our Augsburg Confession, Article 26. And I read this at length because this is the Lutheran position. I quote, "In former times, men taught, preached, and wrote that distinctions among foods and similar traditions, which had been instituted by men, served to earn grace and make satisfaction for sins. For this reason, new fasts, new ceremonies, new monastic orders, and the like were invented daily. Many harmful errors in the church have resulted from these traditions of men. In the first place, the grace of Christ and the teaching concerning faith are thereby obscure. And yet the gospel earnestly urges faith and Christ's grace upon us and strongly insists that we regard the merit of Christ as something great and precious, and know that faith in Christ is to be esteemed far above all other works. In the second place, such traditions of men have also obscured the commands of God, for these traditions of men were exalted far above God's commands. This was also regarded as the truly spiritual and Christian life. Whoever observed festivals in this way, prayed in this way, fasted in this way, and dressed in this way, they were said to live a truly spiritual and Christian life. On the other hand, other necessary good works were considered secular and unspiritual. For example, the works which everybody is obliged to do according to his calling and vocation. For example, that a husband should labor to support his wife and children and bring them up in the fear of God. That a wife should bear children and care for them. That a prince and magistrates should govern land and people, etc. In the third place, such traditions of men have turned out to be a grievous burden to consciences. I'm continuing in the Augsburg Confession here. Although our Lutheran teachers are accused of forbidding mortification and discipline, their writings reveal something quite different. They've always taught concerning the Holy Cross that Christians are obligated to suffer, and this is true in real suffering rather than invented mortification. They also teach that everyone is under obligation to conduct himself with reference to such bodily exercise as fasting and other discipline, so he does not give occasion to sin, but not as if he earned grace by such works. Such bodily exercise should not be limited to certain specified days, but should be practiced continually. We, on our own part, in the Lutheran Church, also retain many ceremonies and traditions, such as the liturgy of the divine service, and various canticles, and festivals, and the like, which serve to preserve order in the church. At the same time, however, the people are instructed that such outward forms of service do not make us righteous before God, and they are to be observed without burdening consciences, which is to say that it is not a sin to omit them if this is done without causing scandal. The church history of Cassiodorus gathers many examples of dissimilar church usages and adds the profitable Christian observation. It was not the intention of the apostles to institute holy days, but to teach faith and love. End of quote from Augsburg Confession 26. Thus our church teaches that you may fast if you wish to do so, and if you do so privately, so long as you don't believe that it will earn you God's pleasure or grace. God's grace was earned for you only by Jesus through his suffering and death, and you receive that only by faith. God's grace through Jesus' suffering and death is what a true Lenten observance is all about. In Jesus' name, amen.